Good morning. You guys are late for the early service. What's up with that?
You missed it.
I will say this. I don't remember ever coming to church and seeing a full moon. Like, I mean, it was pitch black. There was a full moon just right out there when I was walking in this morning. So I'm going to take a vote. How many of you think I need a little longer nap this afternoon? Thank you. Thank you for that. I'm not going to ask who votes against that. Welcome. Welcome to church this morning. Welcome to this worship service. I want to welcome our live stream audience as well that are with us. You know, I ran across this morning as I was reading in God's Word, Lamentations 3. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Do you know that? For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for Him. Now listen to this. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. Is your hope in Him?
Yes.
Do you seek Him?
Yes.
The Lord is good. He is good to us. Let's pray. Welcome, Holy Spirit, into this place. We love You. We praise You. We lift high the name of Jesus. May Your name be raised high. May You be glorified. May You stir us this morning. Surprise us, God. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's worship.
of beautiful voices. You know, it says in Psalms, it doesn't say it like this, but it says, praise looks good on you. And you know what it does? It does. Y'all can be seated. The kids, are y'all ready for the children's sermon?
Glad you're here. So glad. I've been thinking about this week and how you, a lot of you have started school this week. And I thought of school supplies after Carlene's message last week. And I'm here like, and I started focusing on one supply. I started focusing on the pencil. Is this a good school pencil? Is there anything wrong? What? No. What's wrong with this as a school pencil? It's not sharpened. I'm not going to get a lot of work done without it sharpened, am I? I have an eraser in case there's mistakes made, but I'm not doing anything to make any mistakes. All right, I got another one down here. How about this one?
No, not
this one either? It's no eraser, so I could get a lot of work done, but if I make mistakes, yeah, I'm out of luck if I make mistakes. All right, here, how about this one? No, I still don't have it yet. There's no sharpener. I've got two erasers, so I can make a whole bunch of mistakes. But I can't do anything. None of my work is getting done. All right. How about this one?
Yeah.
This is a good school pencil. I can do my work, and then when I make mistakes, I can erase them. This made me think how when we make mistakes, Jesus helps us erase them because we ask for forgiveness and then Jesus forgives our mistakes. Because I got to thinking how sometimes we act more like this pencil where we don't do any, God asks us to do work at school, do some of his work, you know, be friends with people, be nice. Notice the person who doesn't have anyone sitting next to him during lunch, but we don't do any of that work. I mean, he's there to forgive us, but we're not doing any of his work. And then there's this one, and I got to thinking this person's doing a lot of God's work. They're doing it, a lot of it. But they aren't remembering that they sometimes do wrong things. Sometimes they sin sometimes, and that they need to ask Jesus for forgiveness. So this person's going along life and just pretending like that they aren't making mistakes and sinning. And then I thought, well, this one person who's erasing, he has lots of erasers, well, they're afraid to do any work. They're thinking, I can't be nice to that person. I'm afraid to be nice to them. I don't know them. Or they're thinking, ooh, that person said something not nice. How do I deal with that? I mean, there's lots of situations where we think we don't have the strength to do what needs to be done. We think, oh, God, don't ask me to do that. But you know God, Jesus is there and that he will forgive your sins, but you're not doing any work for him. But this is exactly the type of pencil you need to do your work for Jesus, for God too. Do the work. Notice when God's asking you to do something in school or at your activities to shine Jesus out to those who surround you. Recognize when God is talking to you. But also recognize that when you've done something wrong, when you've sinned, and be sure to bow your knees and ask Jesus to forgive you because he will. So you need to go through life and through school and your activities doing both the work and recognizing your mistakes and being able to take care of them. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, please make us brave enough to do your work, whether we're in school or at our activities or at home or outside playing. May we see where you want us to be, Lord. May we be brave enough to do it. And Lord, please make us humble enough to notice when we make mistakes, when we sin and do not do what you would have us do. May we look to your son Jesus and ask for forgiveness and try to do better next time. This I pray in your holy name. Amen.
Good morning, church family. Good to see you. Good to have you join us online. If you want to register your attendance with us, you can do that through the app. A couple of things coming up you need to be made aware of if you're not already aware of these things. Let them get out the door. Debbie, you like my shoes, by the way? Okay. Inside joke. Tomorrow at noon, we're going to have a one-hour prayer time from noon to one. God's been stirring a couple of hearts about us being in prayer corporately, and so we're going to do that tomorrow. It will not be live streamed, so if you want to pray with us, just come at noon tomorrow, and we're going to do this until God says don't do that anymore. So that's tomorrow at noon. The ladies' Bible study starts back at 10 a.m. this Tuesday in room 210. Joyce Collins leads that. Our Wednesday night activities start back this Wednesday, at 5 p.m. And as I've said this before, the best $3 meal probably on the planet, not just in town. But the meal at 5, community groups, youth and adult activities at 6. And if you're not connected with a community group, please see me about that or just come Wednesday night and we'll get you plugged in somewhere. The insert that's in your bulletin for the Children's Hunger Fund PAC event, that's next Sunday at Zion Lutheran Church, and it's down the street on the south side of the road. They'll start packing around 11:15, and the pastor told me they will finish up about 3 p.m., so people that go to this service will still have an opportunity to serve there if you'd like to. They also have a meal. They're also accepting donations for that, financial donations, so if that works out for you, you can serve there. And also, the last thing, the Promise, the musical dramatization of the life of Christ, October 1st and 2nd. If you want to attend that with a group, then you can sign up through the website or you can sign up through the app. So let's stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Most of you might be aware that Bob Carlin was diagnosed with COVID maybe 10 days ago, and he spent some time in the hospital and was released, I guess, maybe on Friday, and then they medevaced him to the Metroplex late last night. And so Bob is a liver transplant survivor. And we're really concerned about Bob. So we're going to pray for him this morning. Also, our good brother Franklin Graham has asked the body of Christ to pray for the nation of Afghanistan this morning. So we're going to do that as well. So just join me in prayer. Yes, the altar is open if anybody wants to come to the altar. Father, we thank you for this day, and Lord, we just thank you that you rule and you reign. Lord, there's no one that's going to compete with you. Father, you have no rival. And we're grateful, Father, for the way that you love us, the way you love humanity. I'm grateful for the way you love Bob Carlin. I thank you for many years of faithful service in the Methodist Church. He and Janice have made such an impact on the kingdom for your glory. And Lord, we lift them up to you this morning. I pray for Bob, God. He needs something supernatural to happen in his body. So, Lord, we ask for that this morning. Lord, I pray that you free his lungs up to function like they're supposed to function. Lord, I pray that all of his organs do what they're designed to do. And I pray for incredible encouragement for him, encouragement for Janice, and the rest of the family. Bob's been in a fight, and we love him. More than that, you love him, God. So would you move for your glory and touch Bob. And Father, we pray for the nation of Afghanistan this morning. And Lord, just help us to look beyond what created this crisis there. Father, there's people that need you in that nation. Lord, I pray that you provide supernatural protection for those who need to leave. Lord, I just pray that you make a way for them. And Lord, I lift up our military, the troops on the ground and the troops that are flying people out of that nation. Lord, I pray for just supernatural protection, God. Put a hedge about them. Lord, and help them not to grow weary, God, in doing a good work there. Lord, and I pray for protection of the Afghan Christians that will remain in that country. Father, I just pray for those pastors that you have set over churches, house churches in that country. Father, I just pray, God, that you give them boldness, Lord, to proclaim the gospel. Protect believers in that country. I pray for a boldness for them as well, God. And I pray that you just give them the grace and the ability to share with those who would oppose them about the hope that can be found in Jesus Christ. God, I pray for protection for the Muslim community there as well. God, I just pray that they come to know you, Jesus, as Savior and as Lord. And Father, I pray against what the devil is trying to do in that nation. Lord, he is a liar and he's a murderer. He has been that from the beginning, Scripture says, God. But you just thwart his efforts supernaturally. Lord, and those who would want to do harm to people, Father, I just pray for supernatural visitations for them. Lord, we hear reports of Jesus, you just revealing yourself to the Muslim world. Would you just do that? Would you confuse their efforts? Lord, I pray for blinders over their eyes as people try to leave. And Lord, would you be Lord over that nation and protect those that need you? Oh, Father, we commit this time to you. And Lord, I just thank you for being together with your people. I thank you for opportunities to pray to you. I thank you for opportunities to worship you. I thank you for opportunities to sit under the word. And Holy Spirit, as we continue to move through this service, would you move in our hearts at the same time? Oh, Father, we love you. We worship you. Adore you. Jesus, we love you. Worship you and adore you. And Holy Spirit, we love you and worship you and adore you. We pray the prayer that you, Jesus, taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen. As we continue to worship, if you have an offering this morning you would like to bring forward, you can do that. You can also give electronically. God bless you, church.
God church for a while as a young man, and the first time we gathered up to pray, me and the music group, we all hold hands and we're going to pray, and they go, let's pray, and everybody prayed at the same time out loud, and I opened my eyes and I was thinking, well, who's leading this prayer anyway? Who's in charge of this prayer? You can't all pray at the same time. But the more I went there, the more I thought, well, that's okay. If they all want to pray at the same time, God can hear every one of them. He does it every day. He does it all the time. They were able to to pray to God one-on-one, even with the distraction of somebody else praying right beside them. I think that's great. And I didn't think about that until Cody were praying earlier, and Cody goes, okay, let's all pray. And I thought, oh my goodness, here we go. We're making a prayer, Susan. It didn't happen. Just you and Jesus this morning. Are y'all ready? Are y'all ready? Here we go.
Pastors in the church came up and had a word I think we need to hear.
My wife Rebecca and I come to church this morning in need of a miracle. And I'm not at liberty to share all that with you. It has to do with a family that we're very, very close to. But we need a miracle. And as we have prayed this morning, I believe the Lord has said, you know what, Larry? I got miracles for everybody here. If you're in need of a miracle from the Lord, ask for it. You can have it. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I'm just reminded as Jesus, as you said to Peter, who do you say that I am? And he said, you're the Christ. And as your teaching became difficult and people began to desert you, and you asked Jesus, the disciples, are you going to leave me too? And they said, where else will we go? There's nowhere else to go. And that's the way it is when we need miracles. We have nowhere else to turn but you, Lord. We can't rely on our money or our friendships or our popularity, our jobs, our career, any of those things, Father. We can only come to you. So, Lord, Larry and Rebecca know the need, and you know the need. And we cry out to you. We cry out to you for a miracle in this situation. Father, there may be some right here in this room, maybe some online that need a touch, that need a miracle. And we have nowhere else to turn but you. So we turn to you and we ask. That's all we have. That's all we know to do is to ask. So would you move as we continue to worship? Would you move and would you change situations, change health, change relationships, change circumstances? We trust you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Just you and Jesus. He's got your miracle. Reach out now. I promise you'll regret it by lunch. You'll be thinking, man, I wish I would have reached out to Jesus and taken hold of what he has for me.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, we thank you for miracles this morning. Amen.
Well, good morning again. Is God good? Amen. Amen. I want to welcome you again to our service. And if you are a guest this morning, I really am so blessed that you're here. We are blessed that you're here. Hope you feel the love of God in this place and the love of His people. There's a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe that says guests. Would love to for you to fill that out and let us know that you were here, and I'll be out in the foyer and would love to meet you after the service and have a free gift for our guests. So turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Beginning in verse 26. I'm going to skip around just a little bit, so just hang with me here. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it." Verse 31. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Now, we're going to skip down to Genesis 2. I want to say that Genesis 1 kind of gives a summary of the creation story. Genesis 2 is like a play-by-play, like what exactly happened instead of just the overall broad stroke. Genesis 2:7, "The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life." Do you realize that you have God's own breath in your body? And the man became a living being. Verse 18. "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.'" Verse 21. "So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man.' For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we trust and we feel that you are here. We ask you, Holy Spirit, now to speak and teach us. Speak in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. As we just read, and as we know, God created us. He designed us uniquely. Therefore, if we communicate and relate to Him uniquely, in order to connect our hearts with God, we must understand how we are wired for connection. Now, I'm starting a new sermon series today called Connecting with God. Now, this is a 6-week series, and it's more of a teaching rather than designed to, you know, to have people rolling in the aisle and getting, you know, slain in the spirit and all that kind of stuff. But which, like, that happens every Sunday, right? Right, Robert? But it's a teaching series. I'm trying to, the objective of the series is to teach us how to go deeper with God, how to connect with Him on a deeper level, and understanding that we are uniquely created and therefore we uniquely relate to Him. So over the next 6 weeks, I'm going to be, and you see if you kind of begin to see where you might fit. There's different ways, different how we're wired, how we connect to God. I'm going to be talking about the creation heart, people that are connected to Him through creation. I won't name any names who fits in that, but my wife fits in that. The contemplative heart, people that just solitude, being alone, is a great way to connect with God. The intellectual heart, the serving heart, the worship heart, and today's message is the relational heart, the relational heart. And I happen to fall in very strongly in that category. So it doesn't mean that you're not pigeonholed into one of these. It's like all the others don't mean anything to you. We all, to a certain degree, have these different qualities about the way we connect with God. But there's generally one or two that'll kind of float to the surface. It's like, man, I really connect with God in that way. So 4 years ago, Cheryl and I, you probably noticed the slide that I did. Can you get back to that slide one? No, go back one. There we go. Anybody know what the little finger, what that's from?
Yes.
Somebody say it. Michelangelo Sistine Chapel. Cheryl and I, you can go on to the next one there, Lee. Cheryl and I took a trip to Rome and to Italy, several cities in Italy 4 years ago. We were blessed. And that's a picture, that's right after we had had brunch with the Pope. It's a little too early for lunch, a little too late for breakfast, so we just had a brunch. But he had been out on his little balcony there, and we came out. And I'm not making fun of the Pope. I'm just being goofy. That's my way. I'm sorry. So that, I get an amen for that, Jim? Really? Gosh. So we're walking. Cheryl and I, Rome was our first stop, and so we're at the Vatican, and we're walking through the Vatican, and man, if you hadn't been, it's just really neat, and there's statues everywhere, and there's paintings everywhere, and I thought the Sistine Chapel was the only painted ceiling, but man, all the ceilings are painted, stuff everywhere. So we're going through the Vatican, and we're coming up to the Sistine Chapel, and man, we're getting pumped. We're going to bitch to see the Sistine Chapel. We got a little tour guide thing. And as we get, man, we got our cameras out. We're ready to go. Our cell phone camera. We're ready to go. Get some pictures. And as you're, anybody been? What do the signs say as you're getting ready to go in the Sistine Chapel? No photographs, right? Man, we were bummed. So we get into the Sistine Chapel, and it's like, you know, a bunch of cattle. I mean, we're like, hey, look at that. Man, we can see, you know, we're shoulder to shoulder. We're walking around. We kind of make our way through there, and we spend a little time. And there's, yeah, I put a little modesty patch on Adam since we're in church. I had more fun putting that little modesty patch on there. I don't know. It was just kind of fun. I felt like me and Michelangelo were partners for a second. Anyway. So we saw that. We actually saw it. I mean, we're like looking up at that picture, and it was cool. So we get back now. Okay, so I'm going to stop my story for just a second. How many of you are rule followers? I mean, like really serious. Okay, here's a better question. If it's 4 o'clock in the morning, and you're going somewhere, I don't know why you'd be going anywhere. My daddy always said nothing good happens after midnight. Anybody else? Anyway, so it's 4 o'clock in the morning, and you're driving somewhere, and you're out on this isolated road, and there's a red light. And it stops, and you look, and there's not, I mean, there's like a coyote over here, and there's no cars within any distance, and you're at this red light. How many of you would sit through the red light at 4 o'clock in the morning? Y'all are sick individuals, I'm just saying. Rule followers. And then how many of you would sit there and look around, make sure there's no police cars, and make sure, is Scott here today? I don't see Scott there. Oh, Scott's out there. Thank goodness. Okay. So see that there's no other cars, there's no police cars, and you'd go on through. I'm going to pray for y'all. I fit in that second category. I don't know if that's a sin or not. I'll read the Bible and try to find out. My wife, however, is in that. She'd be sitting, if that was a 10-minute light, she would be sitting at that light. So we go to the Sistine Chapel, back to my story. We go, and we're looking, and we see all this, and we get back to the hotel room, and Cheryl says, I have to tell you something. I'm like, okay. She said, well, let me just show you. She gets out her phone, and go ahead and flip that next one up there, Lee. Now, you see the zipper? Do you see the zipper? All right, here's the deal. While we're walking through the, my rule-following wife, we're walking through the Sistine Chapel. She's got her purse and she's got her phone down in her purse, opened up, and she's clicking. She's clicking pictures. Now, down at the bottom, you can see the Adam, the creation of Adam, down at the bottom there, right above the zipper. That's another sermon. We're going to take that another day. Anyway, okay. I have permission to share that story, by the way. I always get permission for those kinds of stories. But so it's really that picture, though, the creation of Adam, it's really interesting. If you Google that and read about it. It took Michelangelo 4 years to do that, do the ceiling in the Sistine Chapel. And there's so much imagery, so much analogy in that picture. It's not just a picture that we kind of focus on, but God, the image of God is surrounded in, people have thought it was a brain or a uterus showing that he's giving birth to man. And I mean, read about it. It's really interesting. So, but the point is God created us. I'm just going to jump right in here to, as we talk about the relational heart, how we're wired. If this is you, we're going to talk about what it means and maybe some cautions for us. The relational heart, first of all, connects with God through people. Now, it's interesting, this passage we just read today, Genesis 1, then God said, let us, who's he talking about? It's just God. Who's he talking about? Let us. The Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He even God is relational within himself. You think he wants us to be relational? Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. So God created man in his image, in the image of God he created him, male and female he created him. Now, I got news for our culture. There's only two genders. I don't know, I'm just saying. There's only two. They're right there. God created them, male and female. You can Google and find, 100 more in our culture, but I have no idea what they're talking about. So, okay. So the relational heart connects with God through people. This led me to, as I was looking at 2 Timothy chapter 1, and Timothy was Paul's protege. Paul and Timothy were, he was kind of raising up Timothy in the Christian walk. And so listen for the relationship in these verses I'm going to read. To Timothy, Paul's saying, to Timothy, my dear son, I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame. There's that connection. Fan into the flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. Do you hear the relationships? Just mingled all in those verses. So you got Paul and his forefathers. Paul's talking about that he's thankful to God for his forefathers, people who've taught him the faith. Paul and Timothy's relationship, he refers to him as my dear son. He sheds tears when he thinks about being with him. He prays for him. Then Timothy and his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, there's just these relationships intertwined all in those verses. You think relationships are important? You think they help us in connecting with God on a deeper level? So there's also a passage, and I was telling the early service this, that Cheryl and I were watching the Olympics a little bit a couple of weeks ago, and there was two runners, female runners, and I think from what they seemed to be godly women, And one was a little older for track and field. She was in her mid-30s, and the other one I think was like in her mid-20s. And one had kind of mentored the other one, and they were really close and good friends and everything. And the announcer kept, as they interviewed them after they came in 1-2 in two or three of their races, and he kept saying, "Is iron sharpens iron," and he was asked the younger one, "Has she sharpened you and all this stuff?" And I'm like, he has no idea he's quoting scripture. He has no clue he's quoting scripture. But there is that, how we as individuals, we can sharpen one another when we and really should be doing that. Other for the relational heart, other believers are partners in your walk with Christ. Now, it doesn't mean that if this is not high on your list that you don't like anybody. That's not what this means. But if you have a relational heart and you connect on a very relational basis, you see other believers as partners in your walk with Christ. They energize you. Now, so I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but some of you probably are thinking, man, people drain the heck out of me. I mean, when I'm around a bunch of people, I just get drained, and it's like I need some recovery time from people. Well, for me, you people energize me. I am much more energized in relation. For the relational heart, other believers encourage you, lift you up. They hold you accountable. That's part we don't like that too well. They laugh with us, cry with us, suffer with us. They rejoice with us. Relationship is a big deal. We connect with God through people. Okay. Secondly, the relational heart can be suffocated by solitude. Don't raise your hand, but I'm just asking rhetorically here. Is that you? I mean, here's the deal. As a pastor, I especially early in my pastoral years, I would hear these other pastors say, you know, I went on a spiritual retreat, just me and the Lord, and I spent a week and was just alone with the Lord, and I mapped out sermons for the next year. And here's what I was thinking as I hear those conversations. I was thinking, Hatcher, you are a loser. Because if I go, and I've tried it, if I go away by myself, the whole time I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm trying, and I need to hear from you, and you know, and not that it's never productive, but basically the whole time I'm thinking, golly, you know, I really need to be mowing my yard. Man, there's lots to do at work. There's things to do, and so for a relational heart, man, solitude can be suffocating. That's not a bad thing, and you need to understand that if you're wired that way, don't let the enemy heap guilt on you. It may just be the way you're wired. People energize. Solitude can drain us. The Lord said, "It is not good for the man to be alone." Now, if we're going to get to, there's some of you that. Solitude energizes, and you're what you would fit more in the contemplative heart. We're going to talk about that another week. But solitude for a relational heart can be suffocating. So thirdly, the relational heart is not an excuse to neglect prayer or reading God's Word. The danger, and I'm going to get more into this in just a moment, but the danger is that we... for relational folks, is that we put people above God. Hello. Is this on? Jesus said, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he can do nothing." So he's saying, okay, it's good. People energize you, but it's about me. It's about connecting with me, not connecting with other people. So that's a caution. So Jesus basically, he gives us two scenarios here. If we remain in him and he in us, we're going to be fruitful. If we're separated from him, then we do nothing. So the choice is fruit, much fruit, or nothing. So even if we're relational, we need to realize that the objective is to connect with God. People help us do that, but we are, the ultimate goal is to relate to God. The fourth thing, the relational heart can be vulnerable to, and I've already talked some about this, the relational heart can be vulnerable to placing people above God. What I've just said. If we begin, it's a real danger. We're all vulnerable to it. If you're relational, the real danger is to place people in our relationships with people above our relationship with God. Secondly, we can be vulnerable to blaming God if people hurt us. I need people. Guess what? People are flawed. People can disappoint us. Well, it's okay to be energized and be a partner in the gospel with people, but when we start placing people above God, that's actually an idol. I can't tell you how many times that someone who's been out of church for a long time and maybe is starting to kind of plug back into our church, and when we visit, I hear often, like, the question is like, okay, so when you were younger, you were walking with the Lord, and then you had a 30-year window here where you weren't. What happened? And why are you back? And it's usually something like, well, a church hurt me, a pastor hurt me, a believer hurt me, something along those lines. And my, trying to be sensitive to that and all that, but my response is generally, you're trusting the wrong folks here. You know, if you trust me to never say anything stupid, I promise, you're going to be disappointed. If we trust people to not be flawed, if we trust people to take God's place, we're going to be disappointed. But when we place God above people, letting people nurture that and empower us and energize us in that walk with the Lord, He won't disappoint us. He won't disappoint us. So, again, this series is a teaching series, and it's designed to not to just teach us about more about ourselves, but it's ultimately to help us connect with God on a deeper level. So I want to ask the praise team to come back up. If you just bow your heads with me. Lord, I just thank you that you understand relationship. You in yourself, you are relational. You've created us for relation with one another, with yourself. So, Father, if there's some this morning that are feeling like maybe something was wrong with them because they have trouble maybe being quiet, that's not excusing us from spending time alone with you. But Father, if there's other ways that energize us, that deepen our walk with you, show us how. Show us, teach us. Because ultimately our goal is we just want to be with you. We just want to deepen our relationship with you. Thank you that you are the ultimate in relationship. For God, you so loved the world that you sent Jesus. You came down in human form because you wanted relationship with us. Because you love us. Teach us how to relate to one another better. Teach us how to relate to you better. Connect with you deeper. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand if you are able as we close. If you don't know that Jesus I'm talking about, please don't leave this place today without coming and talking with me about it. Oh,
things happen.
God said, it is not good for a man to be alone. He's created us for relationship. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message today from God's Word. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that He loves you. And if you want to make Him your Lord and Savior, you can say this simple prayer with me. Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to first of all congratulate you and celebrate with you. I want to ask you to do four things. First of all, share that decision with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And secondly, I want you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set us the example by being baptized Himself, and He said that we should do that as well. And then thirdly, I want to ask you to find a Bible-believing church and a Bible-preaching church and become a part of that. We are better together than we are alone. And then finally, I want you to get into God's Word. The book of John, the Gospel of John, is a great place to start. And not because it makes us a better person, but because there's life. It is a living Word, and there's life in God's Word. If you have any questions, you can also email me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.